ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
चेत् सुदुराचारो भजते मामनन्यभाक् साधुरेव समन्तव्यः सम्यक् व्यवसितो हि सः। Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. So the previous verse, Krishna said how he is favorably disposed towards his devotees. And then the next 2-3 verses Krishna will be telling us how even if a devotee is apparently considered to be faulty, Krishna still accepts him as a devotee. This is the most oft-quoted verse by Prabhupada also, one of the verses. And sometimes even misunderstood also. Here Krishna is saying, api chet sudhuracharo. Durachara means abominable. Sudurachara means most abominable. Even if a devotee falls prey to even most abominable habits, bhajate imam ananya bhag, but he is glorifying Krishna in a understanding Krishna to be the only supreme. Sadhu reva samantavya, he should be seen as a sadhu or a saintly person. So there is a qualification mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Who can become a devotee of Krishna? It is said, Yadrichya Matkatado, Jata Shadrasu Hapuman, Nanirvindo Nati Sakto. He says two things. Nanirvindo Na Ati Sakto. If one is not overly attached to material world, or one does not feel disgust too much for the material world, but a person who is endowed with some emotions, such a person can become a very good devotee. It's possible. Because those who have too much of disgust, they become jnanis, impersonalists. And those who are too much attached to this world, they become bhogis. Yeah. So the bhakta is in between. Bhakta, before becoming bhakta, a person has emotions certainly. He feels emotional attraction for things, but he uses that same emotion in Krishna's service. He dovetails it in Krishna's service. And in this way, he purifies that emotion. In this way, a person becomes a devotee. But sometimes, such a person, if he does not become well established in devotional service, there is a likelihood that he may slip and fall back to sinful life. It's possible. If one is like a stone who has no emotions, then one cannot become a bhakti yogi. No? It's not possible. Like Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra was brother of Vidura. So Vidura was teaching him so many nice things. At last when he went to the forest, Dhritarashtra taught him some special kind of some ashtanga yoga. The reason was that he was not suitable for bhakti. His heart was not soft enough for practicing bhakti. It was not suitable. But because he followed Vidura's instruction, he also attained Vaikuntha. It is explained in one of the purports by Prabhupada. How can somebody do only Ashtanga Yoga? In fact, by his Ashtanga Yoga, he created an Agni in his body, internally created Agni. by which he burnt his body to ashes, just like the yogis could do. He was a yogi. So such people who are very hard at heart, they cannot exhibit emotion towards Krishna also. It's difficult for them. So one needs some emotion. But at the same time, have you heard we say people who have emotions, they are people of the heart. People who are intellectual, they are people of the head. But even if one is a person of the head, no matter how intellectual one is, it is said one will not be able to get out of this world and attain a firm shelter in transcendence only with any amount of intellect. Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo na medhaya na bhaguna ashrutena. It is said even by giving any amount of pravachanas, even by hearing a lot, even by intellectual analysis, the person is unable to achieve that ultimate perfection. It's not possible. So one cannot attain Krishna's feet by any amount of intellectual understanding. That is why Uddhava, being a disciple of Brihaspati, who had a very intellectual understanding about things, but he was still a devotee. Still, the Lord sent him to Vrindavan to gain a first-hand experience of the love of the gopis for Krishna, which was completely pure, innocent love. Gopis had that emotion and they utilized that emotion in love for Krishna. Not only the gopis, the gopas, and the Maharaj, the cows, calves, deers, birds, monkeys, all of them in Vrindavan. They all used their emotion in loving Krishna and serving Him. So, if their emotion becomes completely surcharged with Krishna, and in this way we get a sublimated consciousness, we don't maintain any more attraction for the things of this world, then we are very fortunate. And such a person never falls down. A Uttamadhikari never falls down. But otherwise, a person who is still in the progressing stage, who is in the intermediate stage between sinful life and pure life, that means there is always a temptation in the heart to succumb to the lower tendencies. So here it is said that it is likely that one may be exhibiting some traces of sin even after becoming a devotee. Like sometimes you find the devotee all of a sudden becomes angry, and you have a very high estimation about the devotee. You think, I thought this devotee is very great. How all of a sudden he has become so angry? And he misbehaved publicly by shouting at that another devotee or whatever. And sometimes we think this devotee has fallen. He has no standard. Or sometimes we hear that a devotee has blooped. You have heard of what is bloop? Bloop means when you throw a stone in the water, it produces a sound called a bloop sound. So Prabhupada coined this new word. I don't know whether you will find it in the dictionary. Prabhupada coined this word. So somebody appears to have blooped for some time, maybe because of some financial pressure at home, or due to some emotional turmoil at home, or due to some setback in the business, or due to some attraction, some mayaic attraction, some reason. A person bloops. In fact, sometimes in the temples abroad, some devotees who joined as brahmacharis would be missing all of a sudden. One fine morning you wake up and see their luggages are missing and the person is also missing. They would find. And 2-3 months they won't find them. And then again you will find them on a Sunday program. And they will come back again. Again they will be joining the Sunday love feast. And then this time they will find them with hair and everything. And they would be coming in jeans or pants and everything. And somebody would recognize them. Hey, I have seen you somewhere. And then they will say, oh, you are the same devotee. They will come back. So those devotees, you see, they were so attracted to Krishna that they could not go away from association. Although they apparently blooped, they again came back to the temple. And again they wanted to attend the Sunday feast. Many devotees who criticized them that, you went to Maya, you have fallen down. No matter how much they get criticism, still they will keep coming every Sunday. Which went to show that they had really attraction for the path of devotional service. So somebody may apparently bloop like that. Sometimes a person may behave like that. So that is Sudaracharya, he says. There are 26 qualities of Vaishnava, amongst which the one is the most prominent. Krishna Eka Sharanam is the most prominent. Krishna Eka Sharanam means surrendering to Krishna in a pinpointed way, not surrendering to everyone, not allowing one's mind to be distracted by everyone. Whenever I want good health, I go to Surya. When I want a lot of money, I worship Kuber. Or when I want a lot of material prosperity, I worship Shiva and Durga. Or when I want this, I go to... So in fact, this is not only... Many times we have spoken about this. We talk of people going. We have to see the condition of our mind. Are we convinced that Krishna is that one supreme who encompasses all the opulences, who is capable of providing us everything we need? We don't need to even turn our face to anybody else. So we have to ask ourselves, are we totally convinced? How can we know whether we are convinced or not? Sometimes we look around and see other people going to various devatas and they are flourishing. Sometimes if a neophyte devotee feels insecurity, see, that person is flourishing because he is worshipping or she is worshipping Nashta Lakshmi. Or they are worshipping that, what Devi, Vaishnavi Devi. Or some, that there are so many special gods and goddesses nowadays. People go to, or they are going to this Dagadushet, Ganapati. Dagadushet is taking special care of this person. But I am also, So, we may be thinking that, oh, that person is flourishing. We may be comparing ourselves always. So, that is not surrender. That is not Krishna Sharanam. Krishna Sharanam is in a pinpointed way. Actually, I have seen in South India people performing worship of practically everyone. They will do Vishnu Sahasranam, take care of Vishnu, Lalita Sahasranam, there's Hanuman Chalis, Rudram, Chamakam, Shri Suktam, Purusha Suktam, and also Kandar Shashti Kavasam. Isn't it? Lord Ganesha also there is special puja. So, Atharva Shishya. So, they will be taking care of everyone, every day one. So, nobody is missed out. So, nobody is upset with me. Everyone is happy. That is why it is very difficult for someone to give up all different kinds of worships and perform in a pinpointed way, worshipping only Krishna. And worshipping others as servants of Krishna. Ekala Ishara Krishna, Arasabha Bhritya. Krishna is one supreme master and everyone else is his servant. That is called as Krishna Eka Saranam. That means the devotee is chanting Hare Krishna and he has developed that faith. Yes, Krishna is the only supreme. If I just chant his names, he will do everything that is good for me. I don't need to worry about anything. Like King Prithu, this prayer is a very nice prayer in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He is offering this prayer when the Lord appeared in front of him and asked him, what can I offer you? He said, just as a father who knows what is best for his son, whatever is required by his son, he provides all the facilities for the son. Like that, whatever you think, my Lord, is beneficial to me, you provide. I think it was Prithu only who offered this prayer, that my dear Lord, I want thousands and thousands of years to hear your glories. Isn't it? It's Prithu only. Anybody knows? I think Prithu only. He offered this prayer that I want thousands and thousands of years to only hear your glories. So it's actually a prayer in the mode of pure devotional service. So this quality is to be seen, whether one has exhibited this quality of Krishna Eka Sharanam. He is coming in the assembly of devotees, accepting prasad, chanting Krishna's names, and has developed great faith in Krishna. And if he is having this one quality, all other 25 qualities, even if they are not present in a person, still we can accept him as a devotee. There are many other qualities. People often expect that devotee should be very calm, cool, collected. They should not become upset, angry. In that connection, I want to read one letter of Prabhupada. From SSR, there is a nice section here. Here, in his letter to Linne Ludwig, Srila Prabhupada is asking. So, Prabhupada is saying, kindly forgive my beloved disciples for any unkindness or indiscretion on their part. After all, to give up one's life completely for serving the Lord is not an easy thing. And Maya, or the illusory material energy, tries especially hard to again entrap those who have left her service to become devotees. And they have become a little detached from Maya's love or lust, and they want Krishna's love or endless, fully rewarding love. But they have not yet developed to that point, that's all. So Prabhupada is saying like this. So Prabhupada is writing this wonderful letter. Please accept this letter with love, Kmart, San Fernando. We have talked with, so this is, I think, this is written by Linnae Ludwig to Prabhupada. We have talked with two of your boys at different times. Both had a very negative outlook towards the people they meet. Do not believe this in any way as it should be. These boys happen to represent God. This comes from within. Their outlook must have mercy. We realize this. Therefore, handpick these little pieces of heaven to place in the middle of these people, or else it will defeat your purpose. So, this is a letter written by one. This is a lady who has written this letter to Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada is replying. It's a very long letter, but I'll read some relevant section for this verse. Prabhupada has given a lot of nice philosophical answers, several pages, and he is coming here to this section. And so Prabhupada, after describing Krishna's philosophy, is saying, these are descriptions of the more advanced stage of Krishna consciousness that devotees get by development of mature knowledge. At present, many of our students are young boys. They are learning gradually, and the process is so effective, certain, and authorized that if they stick to it, they will come to the right point, as you say, of loving. But that love is not material, so it should not be judged on the false sentimental platform of ordinary mundane dealings. That's our point. Therefore, to say they are not loving may be true from the materialist viewpoint. They have given up affection for family, friends, wife, country, race, and so on, which is all based upon the bodily concept of life or flickering sense gratification. They have become a little detached from Maya's love or lust, and they want Krishna's love or endless, fully rewarding love. But they are not yet developed to that point, that's all. We cannot expect that all of a sudden your countrymen who are addicted to so many bad habits will give up eating flesh, taking intoxicants, having illicit sex life, and so many other nasty things, and overnight become great self-realized souls. That's not possible. That is utopian. But just being initiated as Krishna's devotee puts one in the topmost category of human society. So, sabuddhiman manushyeshu sayukta Krishna Karmakrit. He is intelligent in human society. He is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. And although such a devotee may not yet have advanced to the highest level of spiritual understanding, still he is to be considered most exalted personality, regardless of any temporary frailty. Then Prabhupada is quoting, Apiche Sudara Charo Patite Mamananya Bha Saudareva Samantavya Samyakvistosita. He quotes the translation. As you will say, to err is human. Therefore, in the effort stage, we may always expect some discrepancies. Kindly see the thing in this light and forgive the small mistakes. The big thing is that they have given everything, even their lives, to Krishna, and that is never a mistake. Your ever will wishare is Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada. So this letter, if you analyze it carefully, you'll understand that these two devotees have done some pushing business, and now pushing the books and dealing a little strongly with people. Sometimes you go to sell books, somebody teases you or ridicules you, or you become angry, you know, you fight with them, take up quarrel with them, you try to prove that Krishna is God, or you try to give the books to them, and people feel it's encroachment. How can some people feel very sensitive, especially Americans? You know, they don't like encroachment on their zone or their time or their place. Like in India, sometimes you can even go to the flats anywhere, bat at the door, ring the bell, and when they open the door, you can show a book. If you do that in America, they can take you to jail. You know that? Yeah, they can put you in jail. If you ring a bell and somebody opens the door and asks you, what do you want? Then you say, I come to sell a book. They can put us in jail. They can sue you for that. You can sue anybody for anything in America. It's like that. So the point is, so the devotees are appearing to be arrogant, and aggressive in that preaching. So she has written a letter back to Prabhupada like that. So Prabhupada is saying they have given their lives to Krishna, and that is never a mistake. So Prabhupada is defending the devotees, if you see, after giving a very vivid explanation. because these devotees are neophytes, they must have done some small mistake. But then although they are like innocent children, they are trying to practice, but their cause should be appreciated. The cause for which they are working. So in this way, Prabhupada's broad-mindedness is to see that these are devotees, these are Krishna's devotees working for Krishna's purpose. And we should not see this as false. There are many mundane moralists who are so much caught up in mundane morality, so much captured by mundane morality, they cannot appreciate devotees. They will always find fault with every small thing a devotee might do. Like one devotee was giving charanamrita to all devotees. So when the devotees came, one devotee, he gave them charanamrita, and the devotee said, Prabhuji, the tulasi, I want tulasi, you know. Yes, and this devotee became, this boy became very alarmed, very angry. He said, how can you ask for tulasi? Can we give tulasi to everyone? How can I ask for tulasi? If it is coming automatically, you should accept it. Otherwise, you should just go ahead if it doesn't come to you. Then he came to me and said, Prabhuji, devotees are all selfish. I cannot tolerate this. I said, what happened? See, while giving charana, I was giving charanamrita, he is asking tulasi. I was telling. I said, if you are so critical, then you will become like Durvasamani. Yeah, how Durvasamani became angry with Ambarish, you know that? What did Ambarish do? Such a small, it's not a mistake at all. He drank little drops of water, so in order to break his fast. And then there, Durvasamani saw in his jnana chakshu. And then he became wild. Of course, even if you have to take an action, he could have come back and told Ambarish, Ambarish, see, when a special guest comes to your house, this is not the way, you know, you should eat anything. You should have asked me, or you know, he would have told properly. But actually, he was not in that mood. He was in a very critical mood. When we get into that critical mood, we become so angry that, especially if we are powerful, then our interest is to show our power more than to actually give a deserving punishment to that person. That person may deserve this much punishment, and you give huge punishment to that person. So he plucked some clumps of hair from his head, and he threw it in the ground and created a big demon to kill him. And you know what happened after that, subsequently. So unnecessarily becoming critical with the devotee. So Prabhupada is warning her, it's nice that you are writing to me. I appreciate your point. At the same time, remember, these are God's people. And they are neophytes, they are young devotees, and they might engage in some, they might commit some fault. They should be overlooked. And their purpose should be same. That's why we should see this Krishnaika Sharanam. If you see this one quality, then all the other qualities will gradually follow in the life of a devotee. That may take a long time for all the other 25 qualities to come. But from a material viewpoint, certainly people are going to commit offenses. This is the reason why we commit Vaishnava Prad in devotees. Because we are unable to appreciate this one quality, Krishnaika Sharanam. A person has surrendered to Krishna. Without seeing that, we see every other quality we look for. We forget this one prime quality. And also, that's why he says, without deviating his attention to any other demigod or any other business, if one is 100% engaged in my service, in Krishna service, but his general activities are not up to the point, still he should be considered a sadhu. That means he's not up to the mark. People say devotee means it should be like this, devotee means it should be like that. People have a preconceived idea of what a sadhu should be. People think like that, this is how a sadhu should be. They make up their mind. And when somebody is not fitting within their limited block kind of thing, idea which they have, then they consider that this person is asadhu. We cannot accept him as sadhu. Or they criticize the Vaishnavas. Also, he says that if we go on criticizing everyone, you are not doing this, you are not doing that, then nobody can become a devotee. Prabhupada says this. Like when Prabhupada went to the West, he saw that the Americans were very much stooped in sense gratification, and he tolerated all the activities of Americans to be just like some childish pranks. Prabhupada just tolerated it. When he saw that, in the beginning, when he went to preach, Prabhupada says about this, in America when he started some temples, many of the Indian Smartha Brahmanas and others, they also went to America. They had sent their sons and they had also come. So they would go to the temple, and when they would establish the deity in the temple, sometimes these Brahmanas would come to Prabhupada and say, Swamiji, that detail is missing, you know. When you are establishing the deities, you know, you should do this, you should do that. You know? So Prabhupada says, in one of his purports in Bhagavatam, he writes, just look at these people. They have gone to America only to beg money. They are not gone to give anything. But when we try to do something, they find some missing details and they try to pick faults and say, you have not done this, you have not done that. They are picking faults in small, small things. And they are criticizing devotees. Devotees are like this, Hare Krishnas are like this. There were many people who were criticizing Prabhupada even when he was doing in America. And there were others when Prabhupada returned to India. In 1932, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati took a procession in Vrindavan. And he had all kinds of disciples from all castes. He had made them into even Brahmanas, Brahman Vaishnavas. And when he was going on a procession, there were many Vrajabasis, I mean Vrindavan residents, who were caste Goswamis. They were all very upset with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati that he is giving diksha to low-class people and making them into Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. Some of them even threw stones at the party when about 1,000 people are going actually. Some of them actually are even throwing stones at them. And others, they closed the temples, not ready to open those temples. So Prabhupada wrote about that later when he was talking to his disciples. He said, my Guru Maharaj, he also did this revolution in transforming the heart of people and making them into Vaishnavas and making them into actual Brahmins, real Brahmanas. But these caste Goswamis, who are they? When the six Goswamis established the places in Vrindavan, along with that they also established some Grihastha families to run those temples. And then the descendants of those families only became the caste Goswamis. And now those people are claiming that they are Goswamis, like those six Goswamis. These people are claiming to be Goswamis, although they are not doing much to the effect of what a Goswami is. Goswami means one who has controlled his senses. When Prabhupada returned to Vrindavan, he sent his American disciples out here and there, in various places in Vrindavan. And then the American disciples returned back, and Prabhupada asked them, how did you find the place? They were not very happy. They said, Prabhupada went to many temples, but sometimes the treatment they give appears much different. They said in one of the temples they found many, many deities put together. So Prabhupada said, all these deities were supposed to be in separate temples, where these deities even own lands, many lands, many acres of land. But now they have just put all the deities together in one place and these people have sold off the land and they have made a lot of money and they are enjoying that money. Like that. So that devotion, devotional service, active, practical devotional service is gradually missing in India. And Prabhupada found that. And on one hand, Indians are losing devotional service and they are becoming allured by the West. Even, I am seeing in South India, practically all the, like we call it as brain drain. Children coming from all the Brahmana families, Iyengar, Iyer, we call the Shaivais and Vaishnavais families. You ask any family, if their son is educated, you will see him in America, you will find. If you go to Chennai, Madras, practically every house you will find they have sent the children to America. So they consider that to be the highest goal of life. Like we want to go to Goloka, they want to go to America. Yeah, that's their goal. They consider that to be the topmost place in the whole globe. Because they have no understanding of what devotional life. But they are very proud of their rituals and rites, empty rituals with no meaning. Simply ringing the bell in the morning and showing a big arati, having a puja room, and claiming to be ostentatious, religious. It's simply a pompous display. Empty, totally empty. No substance at all. If they had any substance, they would have taught it to their children, to their descendants, to everyone, and they would have maintained the purity and sanctity of what Krishna consciousness is. They had no understanding of Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada sincerely tried in India, preaching to such people also. But they didn't respond at all. And Prabhupada said, then why should I preach in India? I think my Guru Maharaj wanted me to preach in English abroad, that is why. Because Indians are never going to take this message seriously. They are simply intoxicated by the West. They just want to imitate the West. So he went to America and he preached. And when he returned to India, that was the time when the Vrajabasis are supposed to receive him warmly because he is taking Vrindavan to all over the world. But such a person, when Vrajabasis when Prabhupada returned back to Vrindavan, they were showing some superficial reverence and respect, and Prabhupada could see the suspicion in their eyes. Why the Swamiji has come with all these American disciples and foreign disciples, you know, and he's making them to Brahmins. You know. We are the real Goswamis. These people can be holding danda, but what is their qualification? What do they know about Krishna? So they were thinking like that. So Prabhupada told them, when you are in India, people may consider you like that. And Prabhupada explained to them, who is a real Goswami? And in 1932, I was telling you, Prabhupada explained to them. Even at that time, these things happened. In Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's time. Even in India, when some of them were made into Brahman Vaishnavas, they could not tolerate. What to speak of bringing people from abroad and making them actual Brahmins. Of course, Prabhupada never did anything like what Gandhi did or what Subramani Bharati did. Subramani Bharati, you know, a great poet. He also said, he went to the slums and told people, why you people should be living in a slum? I'll make you a Brahmana. So he took the sacred thread and put on their bodies and said, now you are Brahman. You go and tell everyone you are a Brahman. And Gandhi also did a similar thing. He said, Harijan. He said, because he considered that those people are all downtrodden and not taken care properly, and the society is neglecting them. So you are all the Harijanas, Vishnujan or Harijan means, who are all people of the children of Vishnu, children of Lord Hari. Now that name itself, people consider, Harijan means they consider something different. Harijan is, actually one should be proud of being a Harijan. You say, you feel proud to be a Harijan? Yeah. Actually, all of us are Harijanas. You like it or you don't like to hear that? Because the name has assumed such a derogatory meaning now. And you say, Harijan, Harijan, myself. People feel like that. Because what he did was, he just took a class of people and he rubber stamped them, calling them Harijan. But Prabhupada never did that. Prabhupada never made somebody a Harijan by rubber stamping them, or like Subramani Bharati giving sacred thread. He never did that. Prabhupada preached to them. Prabhupada's formula is Sanatana Goswami's formula. Sanatana Goswami says that you can convert a bell metal into gold by a certain process called as alchemy. Similarly, you can transform a mlecha or a chandala into a pure Vaishnava. Just like Narada Muni converted Valyagola into Valmiki, like that. Then such a person can be called as a Vaishnava. So then you can make him a Brahmana, if he's following all the principles. In ISKCON, when Brahman Diksha is given, it is not given to any Tom, Dick and Harry. You catch somebody from the street and you make him a Brahmana. In fact, even if you have become first initiated, you have taken Harinam Diksha, you have to slog to get second initiation. You have to study for the exams, you have to set a standard, you have to be a committed devotee, fixed up devotee. It takes several years to become proper Brahman, to be allowed to enter into the altar and perform puja and worship like that. So, these people are considering such people to be mlecha, chandala, yavana, and they are dog eaters, they are cow flesh eaters. So, this kind of looking at foreigners to be sinful. So, we have to see the quality of their life. Not only foreigner or Indian, for that matter, anybody. You see the quality of life of a person. What is his quality? He's rising early in the morning, he's chanting and dancing and performing worship of the deities, giving Bhagavatam class. You go to many foreign temples, you find foreigners sitting and speaking very profound lectures on Srimad Bhagavatam. Such depth they have, understanding. And here the caste Brahmanas, all they know is only the rites and rituals. Some empty rituals they know. And they're making a big empty show of being a great Brahman. Like I had a neighbor to my house who was working in CCRA. He was a scientist in CCRA. So he was a Brahman. So when the scavenger would come on Amavasya day, if she would come to clean the lavatory and everything, he would shout at her. He would say, why did you come in my eyesight in the morning? My today's day is spoiled. I have become contaminated by looking at you. He would say, and then in the afternoon, he will go to the hotel and eat onion bhaji there. And in the hotel, she is the one who cooks there. So this is hypocrisy. This is hypocrisy. So I used to argue with him. I used to argue with my father also, with that person also. What kind of Brahmanas are we? You claim to be a big Brahman. You say that I become contaminated by looking at you. But what is the standard we are following? How much Vedas have we studied? How much pure are we at heart? Sometimes when there is no food, you get food from the hotel. Isn't it? Then what kind of Brahmana am I? So we have to ask this question to ourselves. In India, people are more fond of propagating themselves as Brahmanas and everything. That is the reason why, if you see, even amongst the Dalit people, why they are making such a big hue and cry? Because the kind of smartha Brahmana behavior, rude behavior, impersonal behavior, claiming to be people kept in the ivory towers, considering everyone else to be, lower, that kind of attitude has brought about such a social revolution with Ambedkar and others. See like that. But of course, we are neither appreciating this nor that. We appreciate real religion. What is real religion? So, real religion means there are some certain standard principles which are described in the Shastra. If anybody is following that, then they can be accepted as Krishna's devotee, proper devotee. And Krishna says that. So, Prabhupada had that vision to understand who is a devotee and who is not. That's why it is said, Yena kena prakarena mana krishna niveshiye. Sarve vidhi nishedasyur, yetayor eva kinkara. So this is the formula for any Vaishnava. Some or other, you have to make someone a Krishna's devotee. Help him to become Krishna's devotee. And making someone a Krishna's devotee is the master principle. And all other principles are like a servant, which you will follow the master automatically when the master is walking. Just like, say, you are inviting Prime Minister of India to your house. You don't have to invite his bodyguards also. Here is invitation for the bodyguards, please come. When you invite PM to your house, they will automatically come along with them, isn't it? Similarly, when one becomes Krishna's devotee, then all other good qualities also will follow, like servants. That is why sarve vidhi nishedasyur yetayor eva kinkaraha, it is said. They all are subservient to this one principle. But one has to be patient. Those qualities will come. So Prabhupada focused on this one thing when he went to America also. He focused on this one principle, how to make these people into Krishna's devotees. And they had lot of limitations. They had lot of weaknesses, superficially. But Prabhupada didn't consider them to be weaknesses at all. Because he saw the spark of Krishna consciousness in them. And he fanned that spark. One day, Prabhupada was in one of his lectures, when he was giving a lecture, he was speaking. Anyone can become Krishna's devotee. He was telling the boys and girls who had come to his storefront in matchless gifts, anyone can become Krishna's devotee. You see, Krishna consciousness is so nice. Even if you don't complete it in this life, if you do a little bit, that will be to your eternal account. It will go with you. And Prabhupada said, did you all see that picture of Lord Chaitanya at the doorstep? He said, he's very, very merciful. He made even the most fallen into great Vaishnava devotees. He accepted a Mohammedan, he said, Haridas Thakur, as his own assistant, and he made him an Amacharya, Acharya of the Holy Name. So when he can be made the Acharya of the Holy Name, why not all of you? Every one of you can be accepted by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But all we need to do is, we have to cleanse our heart, which is covered with dust. And Prabhupada showed the door and said, just see in the road, when cars are going very fast, they create so much cloud of dust, which is disturbing. But then after some time, the cloud can be removed. The cloud of dust can be removed. In the same way, in our heart, there is so much of cloud of dust. But if you chant this Hare Krishna mantra, by chanting it, we can cleanse the heart. Like you see your face in the mirror, the beautiful face can be clearly seen when the dust is cleansed. So Prabhupada said, you have to just clean your heart. When Prabhupada was speaking all these things, all of a sudden, while giving the class, one hippie entered. And he was completely drunk. And he was speaking some irregular words from his mouth. And Prabhupada said, please don't make any noise. We are talking a very serious subject. Just sit down and hear the lecture. But then he didn't hear. He was just walking ahead. He was coming right in the front of Prabhupada. And all the people are wondering, how will this Swamiji act? Because they were all new also at that time. They were not knowing Prabhupada so much. They only knew that the Swamiji is from India and is giving some message from the Vedas. And he's a good person, kind person. They don't know much. So they saw this man, went straight to the bathroom. He put some tissue papers inside. Actually, he saw there was no tissue paper in the bathroom. Then he said, I'll come back. He said, and then he went back. Again, he came, walked again to the front. He put some tissue papers inside. And he put some tissue papers outside also, like that. And the Prabhupada was observing all these things. And And Prabhupada thanked them. Prabhupada said, thank you very much. And then Prabhupada asked him some question, he couldn't answer, then he went out from there. And Prabhupada immediately told everyone, just see this person. How everyone has the tendency to render some service. Like this person is totally drunk, his mind is not in proper order, but still he wants to render some service. So he said, this is the nature of every living entity, to render some service to Krishna. So we have to render service to somebody, and here he is rendering service to Krishna's devotees, you see. So Prabhupada saw that good quality in that person. He has a desire to render some service. And all the people in the audience, they were wonderstruck, seeing Prabhupada. They said, just look at this Swamiji. He looks like Buddha. Buddha is having a very very calm smile on his face. So the Swamiji also appears very charismatic, with divine effulgence. And he is here to give us some message from India. And he has been speaking some lofty philosophy which we can understand nothing of it. And then he has been talking that, you know, Lord Chaitanya will accept us, and we have to also become preachers of this message, and we have to become gurus, and we have to give this message to everyone. So he was telling that we all should become saints. Now he is even making this person into a saint. He is saying that even he can become a saint. This is really something very lofty, they thought. They totally stand there. So this was Prabhupada. This was Prabhupada's level. Prabhupada always saw that even if somebody is very disqualified superficially, like what would happen if we have to preach to such people? We would take a bow turn and come back. And that happened to many people who went before Prabhupada. Another Swami was sent also to London. When he went to London, he was in London for some time. So he dressed like people in London. So he went and met many of the posh people, rich people in London. He took many photographs with them. All they did was only gave him photographs along with them. But they didn't become devotees at all. So he tried to make devotees. He tried for some time. He tried to learn the language, speak to them, learn their culture, live with them. And then he couldn't make anyone a devotee. And then he returned back. And Bhaktivinoda Saraswati was so eager to know whether he has made some people into devotees. He went to the harbour to receive him. He went to the airport. Actually, he came down. When he returned, Bhaktivinoda asked, what happened? Did you make devotees? He asked. And the Swami said, your system doesn't work, he said. So you can imagine how much his heart must have broken. And then Bhaktivinoda Saraswati still thought, maybe I should send somebody else abroad and they should preach. And Prabhupada went, and many people told Prabhupada that, you know, if you have to live in America, you should learn to eat with, you know, fork and all that, isn't it? What do you call the other one? Fork and? Knife and. So you should be able to eat with all that, So you should know how to cut bread and how to eat and all that. And you have to wear a pant shirt, you know. You're going to America, otherwise nobody will look at you, Nobody is going to hear your message. Some Indian Swami coming in a sadhu's dress. And that too, old man. But Prabhupada never did all that. He went to America, you can see how he preached. So, Prabhupada was very tolerant. So, Prabhupada was telling them also that how a person who becomes a devotee, Krishna does not see all the superficial disqualifications. They are like the pod marks in a moon. There are many pod marks in a moon. But one doesn't take that seriously. One is appreciating the beauty of the moon. Like that, a devotee, devotee's good quality should be seen like that. So Prabhupada said, out of a habit, a devotee may again succumb to some of his old habits. You see, when we say habit, habit is such a thing, it is very difficult to give up. We all have had many, many habits, and you can't just give them up all of a sudden. It is said, from habit, if you remove hach, it is still a bit. If you remove a, it's a bit. If you remove b, it's it. No? It's like, you know, something remains always. Totally to give up is very difficult. So this habit is very tough to give up. There was a proper experience, the story of a thief. This thief, somehow or other, he became a devotee, this thief. But then after becoming devotee, once he went on a holy pilgrimage with all his friends and everyone. So in the middle of the night he got up, because this thief always used to steal in the night. But then when he got up, he said to himself, all these people are on a holy pilgrimage. How can I steal from them? And he scolded his own mind, you rascal mind. Why do you get the desire to steal? This is nonsense. Then he again went to sleep. And again he got up. Again his mind was like pulling him very much. So he would take a bag and open the bag. take something. Then his mind would say, now you are a devotee. You aren't supposed to do these things. And he'll keep it. So in this way, he would take one bag and keep it in another place, take this bag and keep it in this place. So whole night he was awake doing this activity. And in the morning, and all the bhaktas got up, they all were searching for their bags in different places. And he admitted in front of all of them, I'm very sorry, because of my old habit, you know, of stealing. I didn't do anything, I just replaced your bags in different places. My hands are itching to steal. He said like that. Similarly, a devotee also, owing to some past habit, which is actually stored in our subconscious memory, that may again come to surface and shake the life of a devotee. It can really trouble a devotee's mind very much. Every one of us at one point of time or other will certainly be allured by the invitations of Maya in our spiritual life. How should a devotee take it? A devotee should look at those invitations of Maya in a very detached way. A devotee should see as if like a huge dragon is coming with a wide open mouth. Ah, like that. You know, and pray to Krishna and then he just goes, which is the back of the dragon. It's disappeared now. Finished. Yeah. You can see like that if you are very detached and if you pray to Krishna. These conditionings will bring unwanted such a garbage thoughts to the mind. They will come, they will threaten you, and when you take shelter of Krishna, they will go away. And they will not trouble us. And it is possible to win over these obstacles and troubles that come in our life, which are actually the old conditionings. So it is possible. It's not that everyone has to fall down because somebody says that, you know, what can I do because of my past conditioning, I fell down. Actually, they will not even say that. They won't be there to say that. They are gone. You know? Others talk about it. Others say that maybe in a past conditioning attacked them, he fell down or whatever. But a devotee should endeavor sincerely by... Endeavoring sincerely means taking Krishna's shelter. But sometimes a devotee may accidentally fall down. Accidentally, not deliberately. Not in a premeditated way. But accidentally. It's likely. We all fall accidentally. Momentarily we may fall down. Like how many of you have experience of saying something to somebody after which you very seriously regret about it? How many of you? Almost half the hall? Almost full. Thank you for being so honest. So we say that, why did I speak like this? I should not have spoken this word. Because you see, it is said the tongue has no bones, but the tongue can say something which will break your bones. That is the capacity of the tongue. You may say something, you may invite such trouble by that. But we do that sometimes. So that is called as a slip in spiritual life. Sometimes Prajalpa also comes like that. You don't want to do Prajalpa, but sometimes Prajalpa comes like that. It's very difficult to give up. So a devotee should strenuously endeavor to give up Prajalpa. Some devotees are going, one devotee is saying, hey, look at that person, he looks like that devotee, you know, some advertisement. So this is actually not a Krishna conscious thing to say, you know, but it is a Prajalpa actually. But momentarily the Prajalpa comes out, it comes out, and then you realize. If you realize that it's a Prajalpa, that means you are advancing. If one doesn't even realize and goes on doing Prajalpa, then he is very fallen. Like that. So, these are all momentary fall downs which happen time to time in our spiritual life. I'm talking of very, very trivial things. But there may be even bigger slips fall down. Like one may break one of the regulative principles. It's possible. In the 11th canto, there is a very nice verse between Maharaj Nimi and Navayogendras. In one of the verses, one of the Navayogendras speak to him, saying that it's not that a devotee will never fall down. You have 11th canto here, Bhagavatam? I can take that verse exactly. Here and it's here. I can locate that verse because if we can read the translation, it's very nice. Green. One more part is there? One more? Green, that is also green actually. Sorry, this is actually not Navagindra, this is Krishna speaking to Uddhava. Krishna speaking to Uddhava. That's there in that volume? No, it's here only, He is talking, Krishna is talking about his own devotees. So it'll be very nice to hear what Krishna says. Says, Krishna is talking about his own devotee. He is saying that my devotee, while executing devotion life, it's likely that he may be allured by the attraction to senses or sense objects. And sometimes a devotee may slip and fall down like that. But the beauty of a devotee is that very soon he gets back. Like we will be reading in the next verse, Chipram Bhavati Dharmatma. Very quickly he gets back. And then laments that, alas, I have forgotten Krishna at this moment. And very quickly he resumes himself. And then he goes ahead in his Krishna consciousness. In this way, very gradually practicing Krishna consciousness, the devotee conquers all his mind and sense. After which he will attain a stage where he will never fall down. So Krishna explains there that because he has tasted the devotional service, he will not go away. But he will always come back. So it's not that every devotee has to undergo that stage of slipping down, falling down momentarily or for a longer period of time. A devotee may never fall down and he may always progress. It is also possible. But here we are talking in this context about a devotee who may slip and perform some undeliberately done mistake, which is not done in a premeditated way. So we should learn to see it as some past traces of sins or something superficial which we should learn to ignore. And Krishna says such a person should be considered a sadhu. We should be accepted as a sadhu. We will read one or two points in the purport. Very nice points. See page 495. Prabhupada saying, no one should deride a devotee for some accidental fall down from the ideal path. For, as explained in the next verse, such occasional fall downs will be stopped in due course as soon as the devotee is completely situated in Krishna consciousness. And then below he is writing, the words sadhureva, he is saintly, are very emphatic. They are a warning to the non-devotees that because of an accidental fall down, a devotee should not be derided. He should still be considered saintly, even if he has accidentally fallen down. And the word mantavyaha is still more emphatic. If one does not follow this rule and derides the devotee for his accidental fall down, then one is disobeying the order of the Supreme Lord. Sometimes people derive a great joy in talking about devotees who have had this kind of accidental fall down. Devotees derive a great joy. Like, you know what happened to this person? You don't know the story? I'll tell you the story, you know. And they become propagators of the story. Yeah. There is some kind of charm in that. Talking about what happened to somebody. And then they will say, actually I'm telling you all these things not for any committing any offense and all. We are learning a good lesson, you know, from this. So we are talking. So they may say like that. But in the name of learning a lesson, a person derives great joy in talking ill of another Vaishnava. So it's very, very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. This kind of propagating. Actually, every word that emanates from our mouth is heard by the super soul. You know this verse? Shinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanat. What it means is, Swakata means the Lord sitting in the heart. He is hearing us speaking his story or hearing his story. Shinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanat. Like when we are chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Two people are hearing it. One is we ourselves are hearing, and the super soul is hearing. Similarly, everything we talk, everything we hear, also goes to the super soul. So, if the super soul observes that we are sincere, extremely sincere, truthful devotee, it is said, isn't it? What is a truthful devotee? That means a devotee who does not commit offenses, who does not derive joy in such kind of things, rather he is focused in hearing the glories of the Lord and speaking glories of the Lord, and in a very focused way, wanting to approach the Lord. And Lord is also hearing everything. And then that Lord, what he does? He cleanses the heart of the truthful devotee. He cleanses the heart. So he does the job of cleaning. Who is cleaning? Are we cleaning or he is cleaning? He is cleaning. We have no ability to clean. So we can do only one thing. You hear Krishna Gita with great attention and sincerity and you speak it. And while doing this, the super soul notices it. And then he takes the trouble to Hridayantastohyabhadrani vidhunoti. He cleanses that heart. And then the chanting takes effect. Then our chanting becomes better. Then when chanting gets better, then we also improve the quality of our spiritual life. Then we hear pure things, speak pure things. Then again the super soul clears little more. So he is only the person, he is the only person who is capable of cleansing our heart. So we should always remember that. We should not derive joy in talking ill of others. When we find somebody fallen. In devotion circle you will certainly find people falling down. Many types of fallen you will see. For example, as I said, one is the blooping. I said, a person, due to various pressures, due to job pressure, or due to traveling pressure, or due to some serious problem in the family, or due to some affair with some woman, one may fall down, it's likely. Or with money, problem with some money. So there are many reasons why a person may fall. So what should we do? Two things we should do. When we see, as soon as we see a person has fallen, we should find out, first of all we should know that it is between him and Krishna. Or it is between her and Krishna. So Krishna is performing some real surgical operation for this person. He is really testing that person and he is undergoing some severe suffering in his or her Krishna consciousness. So we are observer from a distance. Imagine how many of us would enjoy seeing an animal being slaughtered. Would any of us enjoy? You feel very sorry. Similarly, if a Vaishnava is being troubled, we should feel very sorry. Not derive joy by talking ill of that person. Hey, do you know that person has this trouble? You know that? This person has this trouble. We should not derive joy in that. We should feel very sorry from a distance. And we should say, can I help that person in some way? That's the second thing we should think of. Is there any possibility how I can encourage that person? How I can help that person? In that, there is also a danger of one's own survival. That if I go to help that person, I should also not fall down along with them. Like sometimes, you know, when you're drowning, you know, somehow or other, your nose came 1 inch above the water. You're surviving somehow. And then you're finding out how to get out of that water. And then somebody else is also, you know, drowning and only the hand is up. Save me. Will you go and give your hand? You know what will happen if you give your hand? They are extremely powerful. They will have strength of 100 people to pull you down. So we have to check whether I have the sufficient qualification to save that person, even before wanting to help that person. So we have to see what is my ability to help. Sometimes some counselors have experience that a counselor comes to reveal the heart, reveal in inverted quotes. In the name of revealing their heart to the counselor, they shake the whole counselor only. Counselor gets shaken, hearing, my God, you did all these things. They will, counselors start shouting. We have experience among devotees sometimes. Why, we have so many people with whom we counsel, many people. Sometimes the counselors should be like shock absorbers. We should be able to hear people. People will have all kinds of troubles. You will not believe. Like somebody had an affair with one woman, they loved that woman, they wanted to marry a second one. You know, it was almost, it came up to marriage. And then they had all kinds of affairs and they dropped that and married a third one, you know. And still they are contemplating on second one and all kinds of problems. So now they have become somehow a devotee. They have become a Vaishnava now. So after they become Vaishnava, they reveal their heart. So we should be like shock absorber, ready to take up that. Okay, you had all these things. Forget all your past like a bad dream. Don't think of the past now. Don't keep brooding over the past again and again. Now your future is very bright. Now that you become Vaishnava now no more sins. Whatever you've done in the past, you forget all of them. So like that, they should be encouraged to become a good Vaishnava. And we have to find out what are the ways by which we can protect their devotional service and help them. So Otherwise, where is the hope for such people, when they become devotees? Actually, everyone in this world have gone, everyone has assembled here, we all have gone in the wrong direction to some extent or the other. Nobody can deny that we are a pure soul who descended from the spiritual world. Tang, he came, and then flying, coming back to give, everyone, none of us can claim that. Somebody has eaten meat, somebody has eaten chicken and omelette, somebody has all kinds of things, somebody has seen all kinds of, they have done all kinds of things. So forget it, forget everything like a bad dream of the past. Now let's begin a new book in our life. So we are ready to accept it for us. It's very nice. Okay, I don't have to think of my past, think of the present. But what about others? Apiche Sudarachara Bhajate Mamananiba. So when others have fallen, why do we derive joy, that hellish joy, in picking faults in others, that he has that problem, she has that problem? Why? Why should we derive joy in that? So like we want all our past bad, dark past to be completely wiped out and nobody should know it. Nobody should even, like if you meet one of your old friends who knows about your whole history, you may be afraid. My Lord, this fellow is becoming devotee, he did not tell everything. Somebody may have fear. I met two friends like that, they were telling one boy became devotee, now one of his old school friends. He will tell all his problems in the school that he did. So we don't want our past to be known, especially the dark side. Good side everyone wants to know. We want to broadcast it to everyone. So in the same way, we have to think the other person also, how much he or she will feel bad if you talk about that. If you talk about the current bad situation or the past bad situation. So we should this is the meaning of Atmavat Sarva Bhuteshu. Like we should feel what they are feeling in their heart. When a person is suffering, we should not derive joy in others' suffering. We should not become Paradukha Sukhi. Like what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in that song now, Amara Jeevan Sada Paparat Nahika Punya Relesh. What he says? Paradukha Sukhi. Paradukha Sukhi Sada Mithya Bhashi. Paradukha Sukha Kara. It's very, very bad. So we should feel compassion for... Compassion is a quality of a Vaishnava. Aggression is not the quality of a Vaishnava. We should not derive joy in others' sufferings. So that's why we should consider them as a sadhu. Why sadhu? We may argue, why such a person should I consider him a sadhu? Why should I consider him or her as a sadhu? That person is already tainted. No. That person is tainted. He or she is tainted. But now they are again trying to take a bath. Just like a person has fallen in the kitchen, in the clay. We don't know why. Sometimes, like somebody is passing in the road, they slip and there is a banana peel. They slip and fall. Immediately, what is your reaction? Yeah? If you see somebody walking innocently and they put their leg on a banana peel and soup, like that they, slip and fall. Immediately, what do you feel? Yeah? We show all our teeth. Yeah? Because we derive joy in others' suffering. Yeah? That is one of the natures of a conditioned soul. So imagine if we fell like that and we, hit our backside and it's severely paining and your back is, you got a slip disc or some problem. You broke your back or whatever. How do we feel? So that means we have to reform our heart. It is not a good tendency like that. Similarly, if somebody has fallen because of a muddy pool of water, they have fallen. And when they rise from the water, they didn't know that there is a hole. They fell into that hole and they are coming out now with all mud. Oh, you say, shame, just see, horrible. Now they immediately put themselves in a shower and they're taking bath. Somebody says, no, you are taking shower still, you have this mud still. I am seeing you behind your clothes, and the leg is still there. So that is really, really sadistic pleasure. Sadistic pleasure. We should not derive that kind of pleasure. So we should feel sorry for the other Vaishnavas suffering. When we see them suffering, we should feel... Our heart should be tender to feel some softness. Either we help them or we turn our face away. Either of the two. Because if you keep looking at that, you may be criticizing, blaspheming, or you yourself may fall down looking at that. Better you turn your face away. Or if you are capable, help them in some way. In whatever way we can help them. Because the Vaishnava should consider them that he... Imagine if something happens to our own brother or sister, how would we worry? Tell me. Isn't it? If something happens to my brother or sister, if some unwanted thing happens to them, how would we take action? Practically everyone in the family worries about it. You know, like a son or daughter in the family, as soon as he is passing out as an engineer, you know, or as a doctor, or at any profession, I mean any studies, immediately everyone's mind is in the child only. The father is thinking, you know, where will he get a job? Mother is talking about it, brother, sister. And even sometimes they try to help them. You come to this place, you know, I will fetch you a job there. You know? I know this person, that person. So everyone coordinates together to help son or daughter get a job. You all have seen this in a family? How much they help, you know? And they take advantage of all the government policies, you know, this policy, that policy, everything to somewhere or other fit them in somewhere. They work very hard. Somewhere else. And once it is done, they have everyone taking a good breath. Good, we have done it at last. And they do it also many times, successfully. They work very hard for that. So, for protecting that one person in the family, saving or giving some good position, I have seen elder brothers in a family, sometimes the younger brother is completely a responsible fool. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't go to college. He doesn't study. He's all the time going to movies, wandering in his bike, you know. And if he comes home, he just eats and sleeps, you know. Sometimes the elder brother picks him up and says, "You rascal, you're wasting your life. You come and sit in my shop." And later on, he will set up a business for him, you know. Okay, I'm giving you a business, but you have to give this 2 lakh rupees back to me. Of course, the elder brother knows I don't want his money. But I'm just telling him so that he will become responsible. So they do all that. How much they think deeply is. Consider this in your mind. So even if the money doesn't come back, if he becomes responsible, he is very happy. You earn even 50 lakhs, I am happy. You don't have to give me the 2 lakhs back. I want to see that you are well situated. So if we are so concerned about our material relationships, how much more we should be worried about our spiritual relationships, our God brothers and God sisters, when they are suffering? Should we have a good fun and joking at them, or going and blaspheming them to others, or we should feel sorry for them and help them? So helping actually comes first in our own heart. We should feel that, after all, this is a devotee. He is Krishna's devotee. She is Krishna's devotee. Now it's a temporary phase they are undergoing. And once this phase is over, again they will exhibit pure devotional service. Again. Like that person is undergoing that phase, I may also undergo some time. Like, is there anyone here who has never got a boil in hand or leg? Can you laugh at somebody's boil? Hey, you see, you have a big boil. It's paining, very much. All right. But what is the assurance you won't get that boil? Tomorrow I may get the same boil. If I make a fun of another person, boil doesn't go easily, it takes time. So instead of making fun, we should feel compassion. So we will see more in the next verse, Chipram, Bhavati Dharmatma. We will, when we hear the next verse, that's also a very important verse. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Any question or comment? She's asking, should we chant Hare Krishna and wait for these good qualities like compassion to come in our heart, or should we develop them? So, do you feel what I speak is making sense today? Do you feel what I speak? If it is making sense, we can endeavor in that direction. Okay, now next time we find somebody having problems with their life, so immediately if you feel like laughing, so we can control ourselves. Natural, yeah. Actually, we all have natural things because of the past life conditioning. You know, from the past life, we all have been in different families, different situations. That's why we are now in a particular, very specific situation, and it is very difficult to completely avoid it. But it is possible to overcome it by abhyasena chakanteya vairagyena chakrishita. He says, no? Yeah. Actually, I have seen one thing. Some boys who feel inferiority complex, if they associate with boys who are very positive, you know, I have seen that they totally change, such a change in personality I have seen. Like one of the boys who was so timid and all the time, you know, staying alone and all, and after he became Krishna conscious, mixing with devotees, he's totally changed now, you know. So it gives us hope that, you know, it is possible for us to change. So by associating with more and more swans, so we can become also swan. And we all have the bad side and good side. We can't say that, you know, nobody can claim that I have only good side. We all have bad side. We have one side where we have sarcasm, we have fault finding, we have, what is that pleasure? I don't remember the exact name in English. sadistic pleasure? Yeah, sadistic pleasure. So we have that side also. There's another side which is a warm side, you know, where we feel compassion for others. I said compassion and humility are considered to be mothers of character. Character, competence and courage are considered to be fathers. These are actually, these qualities are called as mother and father because of their nature. Like compassion and humility, these two are soft, so they are called as mothers of virtue. And character, competence and courage are called as fathers of virtue. So these qualities you should aspire for. If you at least aspire for them, you know, then very soon you are going to achieve it. If somebody doesn't aspire for it at all, they feel, no, that's not cup of my tea, you know, I don't think I can ever achieve this quality. This is what I am, don't ask me why, you know. Then they cannot change. But if somebody says that, yes, this is what I am, I know my limitations, but I want to change, I want to become a better person. Like you see, they give so many courses on communication skills, you know, how to deal with people in different situations, and why they give courses if people cannot change. These courses change people to some extent, and adding Hare Krishna Mantra chanting and meditation to that, it even changes you very drastically. It can change very drastically. Yeah, it is possible. No, every day your Prabhuji is at home. He is also a devotee. Your daughter is a devotee. Your son Viplav is a great devotee. If you see other three members of your family as devotees, you will get a lot of association. Yeah. They are also devotees. Actually, even in karmi circle also, a devotee's behavior is very unique. It is not like a karmi. See, karmis are behaving among themselves, you know what kind of way they behave. You know? But when a devotee comes in the middle of a karmi also, his behavior is very unique. He or she, their behavior is very, very unique. It's much different than the behavior of others. So we can, actually, we can keep as less interaction as possible with karmis when we go out, as much as possible. When you come home with other devotees and in the home, family members, when we look at them, you immediately are reminded of Krishna. Because they are also devotees chanting 16 rounds, rising in the morning and doing so many spiritual activities. But these things will come, certainly. It's possible to achieve them if we aspire for them. Sabila, there are many songs called as Lalasamayi prayers. So we can have this Lalasamayi. This prayer we can have. Let me get these qualities. In fact, we have even the right to pray to Krishna to benedict us with these qualities. We can even pray. When we go in front of the deities, we can pray that. Actually, at one time I used to derive great joy when I catch devotees doing wrong. And I used to have a great joy in that. Ah, now I got you, see, yeah. See, I'm doing this, you know. Catch people, you know. So I was sincerely praying to Krishna that, you know, when devotees do wrong, let me not feel joy in catching them. But let me go there and help them. So prayers really are answer. I hope I am changing. So it helps to change if we offer such prayers. So we can find out our finer weaknesses and our finer good qualities. We can see and we have to keep on refining ourselves. There are also premeditated activities. Yeah, no, there are also premeditated, and there are also acts done deliberately, which Vishnu Chakravarti, I'll read a commentary of Vishnu Chakravarti next week when I come. I have brought it with me, but today there is a shortage of time. Next week I'll read it. There he says, even if a devotee did it deliberately, still Krishna says, Sadareva Mantavya. He's telling Arjuna, why do you bother about that? Even if my devotee has done deliberately, very soon he will realize this mistake. And he will cry, alas, alas, why did I do such an act? I am such a rogue. I have spoiled the name of Vaishnavas, I have spoiled Krishna's name. In this way I am very, very fallen. And in that fire of repentance, all his sinful reactions are burnt to ashes. Yeah. that premeditation, I mean without premeditation there is even if it is done deliberately. Yeah, he says that. Yeah, that is why the word eva is used. I think next week I'll elaborately talk about this. Next week I'll talk more about this, so it becomes more clearer. Seventh offense, is it? Seventh offense, yeah. I think that was the therapy next week. Because once I open the topic, it will become very elaborate. I think that is the reason why we are keeping this in two verses. Otherwise, they both could be read in one class. Chipram, Bhavati Dharmatma. I think I'll cover all these points in that when I speak. Then we can have question answers. No, Krishna Eka Sharana means if one is chanting Hare Krishna, then it's Krishna Eka Sharana. That's all. Yeah. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says if somebody is planning to chant, he is also a Vaishnava, I think. So, somebody, yeah. It comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, there is one verse where he says somebody is seeing other devotees chanting and they are considering in their mind, I also want to chant. So you accept them as Vaishnava. Many people
say
that after retirement I will chant. Yeah. I was very stunned when I read this verse in one of the verses. Yeah. Actually, as I told you, no, I was telling you the clear definition of Krishna Kesaranam, that they don't have multiple faith. They don't say Krishna and the demigods are equal. They don't consider like that. They have to clearly know that Krishna is one, supreme, and all others subordinate. This is the actual definition of Krishna Kesaranam. Yeah. That is all right, yeah. Yes. And that means they may be falling short of the 64 principles. They may not be very clean. They may not be offering proper worship and they may be falling short. Those are considered seva paradas. Seva paradas is not very severe. See, for example, if you are showing your back to deities, it's not a very serious aparad. It's considered, see, it's among seva paradas and namaparad, seva paradas are insignificant. Namaparad is more serious. Yeah. Bhakti Rishishyate. Yeah, correct. Yes. That is the actual meaning of Krishna Eka Sharanam. But I was telling about who is a Vaishnava. When you say who is a Vaishnava, then Vaishnava is considered, even once he chants Krishna, is Vaishnava. Yeah. We have to respect every living entity. Yes. Devotees, yeah. That is the platform in which a Uttama Adhikari sees everyone. You know, Uttama Adhikari sees that everyone is a Vaishnava except me. He sees like that. Uttamadhikari's vision is that. You can't actually pretend to have that vision, but you can try, as you rightly said. You can try what? Try for that. Yeah. How many questions, my Lord? I'm afraid I'll be going. I want to start by sharp by 7 and end by 9 sharp. So, can I have 4 minutes? You can continue the next class questions.